Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Talk That Talk with Tweety and LJ on this beautiful Mother's Day Sunday. We're starting at a different time today because I have literally been traveling all week with my family, and we have gone through three different time zones.
Right.
And so I put the show at the wrong time or something like that. I don't know if I put it at the wrong time or the right time. I was living in on the East Coast, whatever. Anyways, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day.
Send a special I send a special shout out to my mama Felicia and my wife Vanessa, the mother of my three kids.
That's a special shout out to my mama. I have no wife or kids, so just a special shout out to my mother, Cheryl.
But anyway, let's get right into it. A lot to talk about. We didn't do a show last week mainly because I was traveling. Was I traveling last week?
Right.
I think so. I was doing something last week, but I was either traveling or preparing to travel. So we didn't really get to talk about the NFL draft, which was last Thursday, if my memory serves me correct. I think let's talk overall draft a little bit, just kind of the first round. And then we can talk Larry Tunsil, and then we'll get to probably what I think we're going to spend the bulk of our episode talking about, which is the Cowboys draft.
Right.
I don't think there's very, very many surprises in the first round. Probably the two quarterbacks went first and second, Jared Goff and Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz.
What do you think about those two players?
I mean, I figured the quarterback was going to go first since Tennessee traded the pick. But I think Philadelphia reached a little bit to get Carson Wentz. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think he was going to be a top five quarterback, but I'm not sure that he's going to be a franchise quarterback, so I figured like they gave up too much. But like you said, the top five, really, I guess as far as picks go, my only surprise, or not even surprise, that nobody really just gave a bunch of hints on it was the Jeremy Bosa to San Diego pick. I didn't see it coming, honestly.
I don't think very many people saw that coming.
That was a pretty big surprise.
And
of course.
Go ahead. I was going to say, of course, the biggest story of the draft overall, definitely the big story of the first night, was Larry Tunsil falling on a lot of draft boards. And I'm saying a lot of draft boards, not because I know a bunch of people who do draft boards, but just from reading different draft boards on the internet,
right.
A lot of draft boards had him as the number one ranked player in the draft and definitely the number one tackle. So when he didn't go in the top three, I mean, I think everybody kind of figured that once the two top picks were traded, both those teams, the Rams and the Eagles, are going to draft quarterbacks. But I definitely think that, most people probably thought Tunsil would go three to the Chargers. But he ended up dropping all the way down to 13 to the Dolphins. And probably it was related to the video that popped up on his Instagram. The video and the a series, I think it was tweets. It may have been Instagram photos as well. But the video was basically him with a gas mask on and a bong attached to the mask, smoking. You don't know exactly what it is that he was smoking, but it just looked bad because probably everybody assumed that it was weed. And then the other one was pictures of text messages where he was asking somebody in the athletic department from Ole Miss, whose name I can't remember who it was, so I don't want to throw an erroneous name out there, but asking him for money to help pay, I think, his mom's rent or something to do with money for his mom. And so he fell all the way to 13. And then he did a press conference afterwards, and the press he was late for his press. It was just very weird where he kind of, like, admitted to taking the money. And, you know, it was just very weird. What did you think about that whole situation?
I kind of feel bad for the man. I ain't going to lie, honestly. I heard from what I'm remembering about the situation that the picture and the video was fairly old. He was still in high school, I think, when he did that. And as far as the taking money from a coach, I'm not sure if the best place to reveal that information was on national television, but I guess he figured he ain't really got nothing to pay for it now. I mean, it's really up to the school guy to deal with that. But I think the whole situation of him dropping, I ain't gonna say I don't get it. I understand the fear of maybe drafting somebody with character issues up top, but man, I think the Dolphins either got a gem, but I think that might have been the worst spot for somebody with a substance abuse problem to land would be in Miami, Florida. But I just hope that he gets it under control.
I don't think there's anything out there that shows that he had a substance abuse problem. He didn't fail a drug test at the NFL Combine.
True.
At least publicly, I've never heard, to my understanding, that he never failed any drug tests while he was at Ole Miss. So I don't know that he has a substance abuse problem or anything like that. But it was just a weird situation, and I think they showed him crying. The crazy part about this, not the whole thing, but an interesting tidbit was, after, the text messages that got put on the internet and, he goes to the interview and basically confirms that he did receive, the impermissible benefits while he was in college, and the guy who was standing there with him the whole time while he was going through his processes, he's just dropping and not hearing his name called, was the head coach of Ole Miss. So the head coach is there comforting him, sticking by his guy, and then the first opportunity – I wouldn't say Larry Tunsil threw him under the bus intentionally, but I would definitely say that it was
he
sure
gave
situation.
Him a problem to deal with.
Yeah, it was definitely a situation to where I think Larry Tunsil was probably caught up in the moment.
Right.
You finally got drafted, this is out there, and you're like, yep, all right, this happened, when in reality, his agent, I'm assuming that his agent and the Dolphins would probably have rather him not address those issues at that particular time until, they can get a little more information about who put him out there and, something like that. And probably it wasn't really, like you said, he's not in college anymore, doesn't play for Ole Miss. He's still associated with the school, will forever be because he went to college there. But it's not something that he necessarily has to address as far as admitting whether or not he did something. Because first of all, it's not illegal as far as it's not a criminal act. He's no longer
right.
A college. He was no longer a student athlete, so therefore he's not required to talk to the NCAA.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he didn't have to confirm or deny anything. He could have just said, "Hey, you know what? My whatever account it was got hacked. We're trying to." But hindsight is 20/20. You're talking about a guy who failed. Possibly as much as, he lost millions of dollars basically because of this video.
Okay. That's no doubt.
And
the
text
that's
messages
no
that got out, he absolutely lost millions of dollars because of that. So, a crazy situation nonetheless. I think maybe probably a guy I would think who's probably the happiest of the first round is probably Paxton Lynch. Oh, is it Paxton? Yeah, it's Paxton, right? He got picked up by the Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
He goes in there. He's got an opportunity to start. Even though I wouldn't, I don't expect him to start this year. I do think he'll play at some point because there's only a certain amount of time that a head coach can watch Mark Sanchez play quarterback. there's only a certain time before you say, not that Mark Sanchez sucks. He doesn't suck. He is not capable of putting together NFL caliber games for a quarterback over a 16 game season. He's not capable of giving you 16 quality starts. He can definitely come in and and start a few games and light it up or whatever. But then you start to get him into that more than 3-4 games, and you start to say, "Damn, man, Martinez ain't that good."
Right.
You know. So
I
think he has an opportunity. So I think he will play at some point this season. And, you know, realistically, he probably has an opportunity to start because he's going to go in there and, hell, Peyton Manning, let's just face the fact, Peyton Manning was garbage last year.
Right.
Around it. He was an average quarterback. There should be no reason that he can't come in and do something similar. And I don't mean, you know, rally the guys and know the offense. I mean as far as the actual play. Hand the ball off and do everything you can not to turn it over. When Peyton Manning came back in for Brock Osweiler, that is basically his job. Hand the ball off, don't turn it over.
Right.
I do expect Mark Sanchez to start at the beginning of the season, but Paxton Lynch, if he's worth any salt, I don't say worth his salt, but, you know, unless Denver has a plan they're going to stick to, I would, you know, be surprised by halfway through the season or so if he's not the starting quarterback for the Broncos. Neither of the two injured guys, the big-time injured players, the guys who were injured who had first-round talent and were possibly first-round picks got picked in the draft, Miles Jack.
Right.
And, I think it was Jaden Smith. I don't want to pronounce his name wrong. About to say, I'm sure my son knows. My son Bryce knows because that guy, Smith kid, went to Notre Dame. He loves Notre Dame. So I'm sure he knows. Right. But neither one of those guys got drafted in the first round, even though because of injuries, even though I think that most people said they both had first round talent. And there's even some talk that Miles Jack may be the best athlete in the draft. Of course, you know, he played running back
and
linebacker in college. But let's move on, slide over. I don't even think we're going to have time to talk NBA. But let's slide into what I really want to get down to. So I'm going to let you speak, and I'm going to get this. I'm about to eat to the whole Cowboy Nation, and I'm a member of the Cowboy Nation. With the fourth pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys selected Ezekiel Elliott, running back, The Ohio State University.
Yes, sir.
What did you think of that pick?
I loved it. I mean, I think I said maybe was it the show before the draft that I was hoping that they got him, but I wouldn't be upset if they was to draft Jalen Ramsey. And like I said, they got him. I think they mainly got him, and I hate to say it because I honestly think they were going to draft neither one of them, but I think they got him because San Diego went on and took Jeremy Bosa. The fact that they got him, I just hope I would hope the same thing as if they would have drafted Jalen Ramsey. I hope they use him. I hope they not only do they use him, I hope they use him correctly because the biggest question amongst the Cowboys, besides the obvious holes in the defense, is the coaching staff and how they run the team and how they manage the clock and how they, you know, pretty much manage the game. So that's my biggest question about the Cowboys in general. But I like the draft of Ezekiel. I like the draft pick of Ezekiel Elliott, even though a lot of people say that's too high to draft a running back. I guess I'm of the mindset of if you feel like that person is the best person to help your team, I don't care what position they play. If they are the best person at that position and you feel like that position can help your team immensely, you take that person, whether it be a receiver, a tackle, a quarterback. Mm. That's just me because I feel like each team has a different need. And based on value of picks, what if I'm already set at quarterback? What if I'm already set at the offensive line position? Those are the most valuable spots besides DN. Like you say, well, DN, they could have took Jeremy Bosa, but I think that would have been a game-changing pick that, hell, even the defensive staff wanted. It was either Jalen Ramsey or Ezekiel Elliott, and I'm not going to say they chose the better player. I'm going to say they chose, in my opinion, the better fit for right now. Not for, maybe not for the future, but for right now. I think they chose the better fit in Ezekiel Elliott.
Man, I wish we were in a studio where I could play a drop, because I would bring in that Nas right now. With your soul, like Ether. I'm about to drop the Ether. I wasn't expecting you to say anything about your draft philosophy, but in the NFL, I disagree with your draft philosophy, and I say that simply because the NFL is generally it is kind of a sport where guys tend to be, it's not that they can't be used at multiple positions, but you can't have two guys to do the same. Well, I shouldn't say you can't. So if I understand your draft philosophy correctly, you say you draft the best player available no matter what your needs are. And I disagree with that because
I
misunderstand that? Okay, I thought this was what you said.
I'm saying based on your team needs. Like, let's say if you need a linebacker more than you need an offensive tackle, I would say go for the best linebacker that you need.
I got you.
That's my
thing. Okay, then I misunderstood. Nonetheless, I'm about to deliver this ether to you and the rest of these Cowboys fans out here. And I'm a Cowboys fan. I love the Cowboys. They're my favorite NFL team. Love the Cowboys. Right, I disagree with every Cowboys fan out there who said the Cowboys should draft Ezekiel Elliott because they need a running back. I'm going to give you a few reasons. Number one, Cowboys had the number four rushing attack in the NFL. They had a top 10 rushing attack last year. I forget what number they were. I think they were number nine. Darren McFadden was the fourth leading rusher in the NFL last year, and he didn't get – oh, man, I don't have my numbers in front of me because I'm not at home. I don't have the computer in front of me. It wasn't until after, I want to say, like the sixth game or something like that, where he really started to get double-digit carries on a consistent basis. So you have a guy who's fourth in the NFL in rushing who wasn't even your featured running back until a quarter of the season was over.
Okay.
He still finished fourth in rushing. Now, he didn't have a lot of touchdowns. So the other thing is you just signed a young guy who still should have some, you just kicked the tires on Alfred Morris. You haven't really had a chance to see him in uniform, especially after, the Cowboys bet so big on the offensive line after not this past season, but the season before that when they had the chance to offer DeMarco Murray more money, they bet on the offensive line, right? So if you sign Alfred Morris, Darren McFadden, top number four rusher in NFL last year. You're getting the Terrence Dunbar back. That, to me, fits your philosophy of it's more offensive line than it is player. We don't need the top-tier running back in the NFL to run behind this offensive line. Right? If that's the philosophy. So let me get to number three. The other thing is the pressure or the way that Cowboy fans are making it seem is that Ezekiel Elliott is going to come in the NFL. The only way he can meet the expectations of Cowboys fans is he has to come in and be lead rusher in the NFL. Because Cowboy fans saying, we need Ezekiel Elliott, that's the missing link to the Super Bowl. I'm like, Ezekiel Elliott is a rookie. I could understand if he was a kicker, but do you mean to tell me a rookie running back is going to come into the league and lead the NFL rush? Now, has it happened before? Sure. I think Eric Dickerson was one guy who done it. It hasn't been very many.
That's very rare.
Then you go over the last two seasons, there's been I wish I had my computer in front of me. There was one guy who rushed for more than 1,400 yards last year. There was one the season before that. And then three seasons ago, there were only two that season. So the 1,500-yard mark has not been hit very many times over the last five seasons in the NFL. The year that DeMarco Murray won the rushing title, he had 1,800 rushing yards, over 1,800 rushing yards. You mean tell me Cowboys fans think a rookie is going to come in the NFL and rush for 1,800 yards? I'm not saying he might not. I'm saying, history tells us that that is unlikely to happen. It's unlikely to happen.
But I'll also say history would say that a cornerback or a defensive back really doesn't really hit a stride until year three or four. So it's like either way it goes.
I would disagree with that.
Huh?
I would disagree with that.
You can go check with very few have come in and made an immediate impact. Very few.
The good ones have. The good ones have made immediate impact.
Okay, so the real reason to make an immediate impact, he is considered a great. He took him like year four. Now Patrick Peterson came in and made an immediate impact. I give you that.
Yeah.
And I would say maybe the Honey Badger. But over the last 5 to 10 seasons, I give you the Honey Badger and Patrick Peterson.
What about the the young cat that played corner for Denver, Cliff Harris Jr.
He ain't even the best corner on his team.
Well, I didn't say he's the best corner on the team. You said he came and made an impact. He made the Pro Bowl this year.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then you can say the dude from Carolina finally made an impact. And he's been on a good defense all his career.
Yeah, he's been in the NFL for like 5 years already. But my point is,
go ahead.
Yeah, but it ain't been because of him. I mean, maybe it is. He stepped it up this year.
Right. But all I'm saying is, as far as I agree when somebody would say, if somebody was to say that the Cowboys should have taken Jalen Ramsey, I wouldn't just go tooth and nails and fight them on it. But I would also say that I think that they didn't do wrong by drafting Ezekiel Elliott either.
I think they made the wrong. I think they made the wrong decision. It's not because I don't think Ezekiel Elliott will be a good NFL player. I hope that he's a legendary running back. That's not why I'm saying the Cowboys. I think they should have drafted somebody else, because I think the Cowboys need more help on defense. This is the way I'm viewing it. Right?
Okay.
You have Tony Romo, who, in my opinion, is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's a top 10 quarterback. It doesn't matter whether you hate him or love him. If you're objective enough, you have to admit that Tony Romo is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Now, you can make the argument that he may lose something because of injury, but whatever.
Right.
You have Dez
right.
Bryant, arguably, I mean, he didn't have a very good season last year because of injuries, but arguably
right.
the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. One of the top two guys in the NFL. Jason Witten, still a very high caliber quality tight end. You had arguably the best offensive line in the NFL. Chance Williams, when he's not asked to do things, when he's not asked to do be the number one receiver, you know, is still a big play threat. You know, he should be even better than Chance to be a third year in the NFL. My point is. You have Pro Bowlers. You have high quality talent on the offensive side of the ball. You have playmakers. You flip it over to the defensive side of the ball, you cannot name one playmaker. You can name guys you hope, or maybe, you don't have any playmakers. You don't have playmakers in the front seven. You don't have playmakers on that back four. So that's my argument of why I think the Cowboys should have went defense, is because I think that the Cowboys need a defensive playmaker.
I consider Sean Lee a playmaker on defense in the front seven. McClain a playmaker on the front seven in the defense.
They make tackles. John Lee will
make
big
plays.
But last season was really the only – I mean, he didn't play all the games last season. He was out he's been hurt so much in his NFL career. You know what I mean?
If you're gonna go by that philosophy, I can understand why they drafted the running back too. Because last year was probably the first year Dan McFadden played more than 10 games since he's been here.
But I understand that. But I'm saying they already signed Alfred Morris.
Well, yeah, I'll get you that, but
yeah, they already signed Alfred Morris, and they have Laterrence Dunbar coming back from injury. And again, they're betting on the offensive line. It's kind of like when Mike Shanahan was with Denver, and it didn't matter who Denver put at running back, they was getting like 1,500 yards because of the
system. Yeah, but they were also getting
their offensive line.
Well, the problem was with the Cowboys' offense last year, even with the top 10 running game, is that when it came down to 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, you couldn't get it.
That was not a reflection of the Cowboys' offensive line, in my opinion.
No, never
said
that. That was a reflection of the running back.
Well, no, I don't think it's a reflection of the running back or the Cowboys. That was a reflection of, in my opinion, the piss poor quality of quarterback play the Cowboys had last year. I mean,
okay.
Because the guys that play on the other side of the ball are also paid to play as well. If they know you can't throw the ball, it's easier to stop the run. If you make a team one-dimensional, it's easier to stop that team. That's my opinion. So I think Tony Romo will help that. But, you know, that's why I just think the Cowboys could have definitely used another. They need a defensive playmaker, a guy who's going to help make big who's going to make big plays, create turnovers. And I know, you know, I'm a Jalen Ramsey guy. I know the knock on him. He only had 3 picks. He dropped a lot of picks. Yeah, I mean, true enough. But if you go back and watch tape, he created big plays in other ways. It wasn't just, oh, you know, he's creating big plays by catching interception. He's a great blitzer. He creates big plays.
I guess my thing is, how many times have you seen the Cowboys blitz defensive backs? They don't do that
because they can't cover no damn body.
Well, that's the problem. If that's one of his strengths, we're going to have to take that away from him because he won't be able to do it.
You don't do that. You don't bring a guy in and say, this guy's a great blitzer, and then say, well, my defense don't blitz, so we're not going to blitz. If you're a good
coach,
that's what
I'm saying.
You figure out a way to play to his strength. And that's one of the things about Jalen Ramsey to me.
But if you don't,
his versatility, I think he's going to make big play, and I think that's what the Cowboys needed. When was the last time the Cowboys – had a playmaker in the secondary?
Roy Williams made big tackles. He had one good year. He had a rookie year.
Where he was one of the best safeties.
Who could Roy Williams cover? Who named one
for
he
real?
He couldn't cover nobody. He was a safety.
You ain't got to cover nobody. You don't have to be able to play man-to-man, defense, play safety.
You know, he couldn't play zone either. He was slow. He could tackle you. Roy Williams was a great tackler, great at the line of scrimmage. That's it.
He had a couple of years where he lost, where he didn't play so great when the whole Cowboys defense secondary sucked. Before then,
they had more than a couple of years of mediocre to poor safety play.
No, he had a couple of years. He had a couple of years at the most. Anyway, that's beside the point. Even if you want to go back to Deion Sanders and say Deion was the last playmaker, even though that last year or two that Deion was out there getting
Yeah, he
was
played like Boo Boo too. Right. I need that.
Yeah, he was out there
getting
wide.
Right.
But still.
Well, I guess if you want to be technical, I'll give you Roy Williams. Like you say, he did make plays, but most of his plays was mostly in the backfield. Like you say, he'll come up with a pick every now and then. I think in his Cowboy career, I think he played for the Cowboys about 7-8 years. He may have had 5 picks. Most of those were big plays.
You're talking strictly interception. I'm talking
about.
So
he did make plays, though. I'll give
big
you.
Plays.
He made plays.
Causing fumbles, breaking up passes on third down.
Yeah.
I mean,
was
the last time you seen a Cowboy cornerback break up a pass? I mean, they might have had 4 the whole season last year.
He might have had 3
of them. He ain't playing the secondary. You know what I'm saying?
I get that.
So that's all I'm saying is I feel like the Cowboys could use a defensive playmaker more than they could have used a running back. I know people say, oh, you know, he's going to help the defense out.
That's more time. I don't, yeah, that's, are we out of time already? Okay.
Yeah, we out of time. we'll see y'all next Sunday. We might have a special episode between now and Sunday. Who knows?
Yeah.
Tune
who
in.
Knows.
Tell a friend to tell a friend to listen. See y'all I've next Sunday.
Talk,
Happy
baby.
Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Peace. Day.
Tell a friend, tell a friend. Tell a friend.